everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Hi, I'm Rob West. God has designed life to unfold in seasons, and with each one comes new challenges, opportunities, and sometimes new finish lines. Today, Cody Hobelman joins us to talk about why it's not only okay to adjust your financial finish line, it's often the wise and faithful thing to do. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we're glad to welcome Cody Hobelman back to the program. He's a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor, and as of last month, now serving as a wealth advisor at Wealth Squared alongside our friend Rachel McDonough. Cody is also a trusted contributor to our quarterly publication, Faithful Steward. And Cody, it is great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to be here again.
Cody, before we dive into your latest article for Faithful Steward magazine, I'd love to have our audience hear about your experience as a certified kingdom advisor. Would you take a moment and just share what you think makes a CKA different from a typical financial advisor?
Absolutely. I think the CKA exam and curriculum was one of the most impactful that I have ever taken personally. The thing that sets a CKA apart from another financial advisor is the acknowledgement that Scripture is our source of wisdom for life, but specifically our finances as well. And CKAs have a commitment to communicating truth, not just the expertise that we gain through practice.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I think that really says it very, very well. And I think the differentiator is around the kinds of conversations a CKA has with his or her client. And this topic today of finish lines, I think, is right in the bullseye of the types of different conversations you and other CKAs are having. I'd love to dive into that. You've been exploring the idea of financial finish lines, beginning with the concept of a lifestyle finish line. But in your latest Faithful Steward article, Cody, you had an article called "A Spending Finish Line is Just the Beginning," where you make the point that your first finish line doesn't have to be your last. Talk about why that's an important perspective for people to understand.
Yeah, I think the idea of setting a finish line can feel very final, and there's a pressure to get it exactly right. But over the years, we've learned that it's not necessary to get it exactly right. It's more important that we're growing in our journey. And so I like to remind folks that this is a way that we can set our first finish line, and through practice, we're going to refine it. And over time, we're going to learn how to actually live life with a finish line appropriately. In fact, there's probably situations where we should consider adjusting our finish line throughout time.
Yeah, and let's dive into that a bit. When should someone consider revisiting or adjusting their lifestyle finish line?
I think it's healthy, just like a financial plan, to take a look at our financial finish line annually, because a lot can change in a year. But certainly when there are big changes in our lives, maybe it's a new person that we're financially responsible for, or a person that we're no longer financially responsible for. It could be moving to a different geography where the cost of living is dramatically different, or just major events in life like changes to our health. These all could change what it costs to maintain the same lifestyle and would be triggers that would cause us to take a second look at our financial finish lines.
Yeah. Now, as a part of this, we're going to dig into some of the mechanics of what it looks like to set a lifestyle finish line and how you can determine what is truly enough for retirement and what about some of the unknowns in your life. We'll get into all of that. But before we head to this first break, Cody, I'd love for you just to describe in the work you've done at finishlinepledge.com, just some of the fruit, the benefits that come by capping your lifestyle and setting that finish line, even in your own spiritual journey.
Yeah, I'd love to. I think the idea when we talk about limits or caps, it sounds like a restriction, but what I've actually found is this is actually a way that we can gain freedom. And this is a biblical principle in other areas of life. It's just a tool that we can use to apply in how we manage our financial resources. And so through setting a financial finish line, what I've actually found is contentment, peace, and purpose in my own life.
So good. Well, folks, if you want to learn more about what Cody's doing, head to finishlinepledge.com. That's finishlinepledge.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, much more with Cody. We'll get into some of the mechanics of how you should think about a finish line, when you should adjust it, and how you get started. We're talking with Cody Hobelman today. He's a wealth advisor at Wealth Squared. His article appears in the latest edition of Faithful Steward. If you'd like to learn how you can get a copy, go to faithfi.com/get. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Discipline. Every child needs it, but no child wants it, because discipline is always unpleasant. And the reality is, parents don't enjoy applying it either. But we do it anyway, out of love, because we know the outcome is worth it. The writer of Hebrews tells us that God's discipline is even better. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. God's correction isn't harsh or random. It's purposeful and perfect. He shapes us through trials. So when the Lord disciplines us, we can trust His hand. It will lead to our good. Get more daily encouragement for your walk with Jesus at haventoday.org.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Wondering who Faith and Finance recommends as a banking partner that aligns with Christian values? It's Christian Community Credit Union. When you open a high-yield checking, savings, or Visa cashback card, you'll help advance the gospel when making everyday transactions. Visit faithfi.com/banking and use code FAITHFI when you sign up. That's faithfi.com/banking with code FAITHFI. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my friend Cody Hobelman, certified Kingdom Advisor and certified financial planner. He's a wealth advisor at Wealth Squared. He's also a frequent contributor here at FaithFi. And in our recent edition of our Faithful Steward magazine, he had a really powerful article on changing your financial finish line. Now, you may say, what is a finish line? So, Cody, before we get into some of the finer points of this, just give us a simple definition. What is a financial finish line?
A financial finish line is simply an answer to the question, how much is enough? It helps us separate between what we intend to consume for our own use and what we choose to make available for investing in God's kingdom.
Yeah, that's so helpful. Now, I know you emphasize that a lifestyle finish line, and let's just describe the two. We can have a lifestyle or a spending finish line, and that's important. We can also have an accumulation finish line that really is about our balance sheet or our net worth. But that lifestyle finish line is just one piece of the broader financial picture. So how does it go beyond just saving and preparing for retirement?
Yeah, I think the lifestyle and the net worth or accumulation finish line can actually be related to each other. We can think about the ways that we use money as divided into four categories. First is personal spending. This is what we're going to use for our own lifestyle in the next month or the next year, for example. Second bucket is planning ahead for the future. These are things that we're going to spend on our lifestyle in the future. Next is taxes. We don't have to go into detail on that. We're all familiar.
That's right.
The last is building God's kingdom. This is the portion that we've decided in advance we're not going to use on ourselves. And so the lifestyle finish line helps us understand what's an appropriate amount to spend on ourselves and our lifestyle. And this can help us inform the way that we do retirement planning, how much we save for the future, and how much we invest.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because that lifestyle finish line really drives the other finish line, which is how much you're ultimately going to need for a net worth finish line. So let's unpack that a bit. Explain a net worth finish line, what it entails, and how it works.
A net worth finish line is really an amount that we think is appropriate to accumulate throughout our lifetime. So this is a number that we can arrive at through financial planning, but at its core, this concept really comes from Luke 12 and the parable of the bigger barns, where the wealthy farmer accumulated far more than he ever needed, which created wastefulness and missed opportunities for his life. And so he expected to have a long life where he could mobilize all these resources in a number of ways, but he wasn't promised that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you really highlight three areas of what you might think of as spiritual wrestling that play a key role in identifying that finish line. So I'd love for you to just walk through those.
Absolutely. The first area is the lifestyle finish line. This is how much our lifestyle costs right now. And so we can think of that, again, in an annual amount or even in a monthly amount. Once we have an idea of how much we're going to spend, that can help us plan for the future. The second area is wealth transfer. We will not live forever, and someday somebody else will steward the resources that we are currently stewarding. And so we can think and plan ahead for how much is appropriate to pass on to our heirs or to the next stewards. And finally is the conservative margin, because we don't know what will happen in the future. Life throws curveballs at us all the time. So it may be wise to have a conservative margin, but there's a limit to how much we can actually rely on money as compared to God.
Yeah, and that makes so much sense. I mean, when you have these three pieces that you just outlined, Cody, you know what your lifestyle finish line is, and you can run a math equation to determine how much you need to maintain that over the rest of your life, and then how much you want to leave to heirs, which is your wealth transfer finish line, and then that conservative margin for uncertainty, you can really back into a number. Now, we don't want to make it all about financial mechanics, so you want to take that alongside your advisor, hopefully who understands these ideas, but make it a matter of prayer to ultimately arrive at that number. And then as it relates to our conversation today, it can and does often change over time. Cody, though, when we find ourselves going beyond our finish lines, maybe over accumulating, you suggest that there's an essential question we should be asking ourselves. What is it?
I do think it's important to step back and ask ourselves, why am I holding onto these resources in the first place?
Yeah.
I think when we run through the filter of our Ephesians 2:10 purpose, the good works that God has set in advance for us, it can help to inform how we use resources today.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Now, when it comes to the finish line, you really emphasize that we should be continuing to give even though we haven't reached that finish line. And I'd love for you to talk about the wrestling that goes into that idea.
A finish line is really a tool designed to help you prioritize generosity in how you manage resources. And so setting a finish line that might be more than you're currently earning, it may not feel like you have enough today. This was certainly the case in my story, but I wanted to prioritize generosity today, even when it didn't feel like I had enough. So I recommend that you continue giving, whether that's a percentage of your income or you set a giving goal, which is a dollar amount over a period of time, to actually build the habit of giving even before you've reached your finish line. And this helps you prepare for the future if God decides to give an increase in the form of financial resources.
Yeah, and that helps us fight against this idea that that increase in standard of living shouldn't be in the way of increasing our standard of giving, which should be the big idea. All right, so now, Cody, some listeners might still feel unsure about where to begin. I mean, they hear this idea. It sounds actually really exciting, something they'd like to lean into. Can you offer a practical next step on where they should start?
Yeah, I think an easy next step is to just try it for a period of 90 days. I've heard multiple stories, and this is actually my introduction to financial finish lines. I decided to set a finish line for 3 months and see what I learned. And it honestly was transformational almost overnight. And it's been 5 years since that moment.
That's powerful. And I know the implications are financial, because if you set that finish line, you'll actually have more money that you can give away. But there are spiritual implications to this as well. What does that look like in your life?
A financial finish line really trained me to acknowledge God first in stewardship decisions. And so in order to set a finish line, we must recognize that all of the resources that have been entrusted to us do truly belong to God. And so it reorients us on how to steward his resources rather than trying to understand how much of our resources we need to give to God. And it makes me think of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So there is a financial aspect to this conversation, but really we are designed to be worshipers of our King, and this is one way that we can enter into that worship.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, we're about out of time here, just about 30 seconds left. What's one key takeaway you can leave our listeners with today?
The thing I'd like to leave with listeners is to try to take that next step. It doesn't have to be final. It doesn't have to be set in stone for the rest of your life, but there is a next step for you on your journey of growth as a steward.
Yeah. Well, folks, if you want to learn more, we'd love for you to check out finishlinepledge.com. You can also make sure that you receive every issue of Faithful Steward when you become a FaithFi partner. When you give $35 a month or $400 a year, just go to faithfi.com/give. Cody, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Rob. Always great to be here.
That's Cody Hobelman. He's certified financial planner and certified kingdom advisor, also wealth advisor at Wealth Square. A quick break and back with your questions. Call right now, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
I'm Dr. Ray Rooney. The mission of American Family Association is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to afafoundation.net.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Really looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. Now is the time to call with any financial question on your mind. That number, 800-525-7000. Lines are open. The team is standing by. We just need you. 800-525-7000. What a treat to have Cody Hobelman with us today. You know, this idea of a finish line is so key because so often, as our standard of living increases, we spend more. You know, you will always spend to the level of your income unless you protest to the contrary. But this idea of a finish line says, no, what if rather than just automatically raising my standard of giving, or excuse me, living, my standard of living, what if instead I choose to raise my standard of giving? You know, what if I were to say, you know what, there is a cap on the amount I'm going to spend on myself in terms of my lifestyle spending? And in addition to that, there's a cap on how much I'm ultimately going to accumulate. You know, if God continues to provide more over time, do I just mindlessly accumulate more and more? No, I think there is a finish line that you can thoughtfully arrive at between you and the Lord. And if you have a certified Kingdom Advisor, your advisor would be a key part in that journey, where if you're married, you and your spouse, or if you're single, you and the Lord together would really make this commitment. And where I've seen that incredibly powerful is especially folks who are just starting a business that say, you know what, I'm going to give this business on the front end to the Lord, and here's how much income I'm going to cap out at, and here's how much accumulation I'm going to cap out at. And I've seen some businesses, including, well, Alan Barnhart's a classic story of this with Barnhart Crane and Rigging. Hundreds of millions of dollars has gone into missions overseas because Alan, when he started Barnhart Crane and Rigging, said, you know what, here's our finish line. And it was actually a function of the median income where he lives. God bless that business. It's one of the biggest crane and rigging companies in the world. And that has resulted in, again, hundreds of millions of dollars being given away. Well, that doesn't happen unless you make that commitment along the way. You're not going to drift there. You have to make really an intentional decision. And that's what Cody's getting at. Now, here is the reality. It's going to look different for all of us. I can't tell you what your lifestyle finish line should be or what your accumulation finish line can be. You're not going to see that in God's word. But I think that's actually a good thing, because then there's a little bit of a tension where you kind of wrestle and pray through that and arrive at a decision ultimately. Ron Blue, one of my mentors, a regular contributor here, says there's three questions that we need to answer as believers, especially when we're in a solid or a surplus situation. We need to answer, how much is enough for me? Or if you're married, for us. How much is enough for the kids? That's the inheritance conversation. And then what do I do with the rest? Meaning, how do I intentionally and strategically give it away? Those are three very important questions we need to wrestle through. Today is dealing with that first one. By the way, this article we've been referencing today is in Faithful Steward, our quarterly magazine that's just full of rich content to encourage you on your stewardship journey. It's beautifully designed. Comes out each quarter, and I think, you know, it's a great opportunity for you just to take a step back and really think about some key areas of your financial journey. If you'd like to receive that each quarter, just become a Faith 5 partner. We'll send you that along with each new study or devotional. We'll also give you pro access to the Faith 5 app, and you'll help us reach more people here at Faith 5. Just go to faithfi.com and click give.
We're going to dive into your questions here in just a moment. So now is the time to call 800-525-7000. First in the news today, market reaction to the U.S. airstrike over the weekend against Iran's nuclear facilities appears to be more calm than anxious. Analysts are describing the market's response as surprisingly subdued, thanks to pre-existing risk pricing and the fact that the strike occurred over the weekend. So far, stocks are holding fairly steady. Right now, we've got pretty much green across the board. The Dow Jones up 150 points, the S&P up about 30, the NASDAQ up 106. The best of the three major indexes at a little more than 0.5% higher. As you might expect, oil spiked, then settled, and that was buffered by global supply assurances. A lot still remains to be seen about what's going to come from the Strait of Hormuz, where so much of the oil of the world passes through. But the overall mood is cautious yet resilient, with investors shifting focus to Fed Chairman Jerome Powell's testimony before the House Financial Services Committee. That happens tomorrow, and then the Senate Banking Committee on Wednesday, rather than the conflict escalation. Powell is expected to defend the Fed's decision last week to keep interest rates unchanged despite increasing pressure from President Trump. Markets are keenly watching for language that might hint at a July or September rate reduction. Some Fed governors saying that they're expecting that rate cut sooner rather than later, perhaps as soon as July. But the market will be watching closely the chairman's comments. All right, let's dive into your questions today. Call right now if you've got a question, 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in Nebraska today. Hi, Julie. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. I have two teenagers. I have a Capital 360 account open for them that I contribute to for both of that they contribute to. They have about $18,000 each. The 16-year-old has a summer job right now, and I have heard what Dave Ramsey says, that if you invest $100 a month from 25 to 65, you'll have over $1 million for retirement. I realize that has to be under the best market conditions and might not be true, but I'm just thinking, what if a person starts out at 16 instead of 25? Would you recommend a 16-year-old starting a Roth IRA, or should he just should I open him his own Capital 360 account where he can just keep dumping money into it from his job as much as possible?
Yeah, boy, it's a great question. And it sounds like you've modeled some really wise financial decision making there. How much did you say he's already accumulated?
They have about $18,000 each.
Yeah, phenomenal. And what is the situation with regard to college? What are you planning there?
He's thinking we're probably going to be doing a trade school, and okay, he will be responsible for that out of the $18,000. And he also, you know, is dreaming of a car because he's tired of driving our Toyota Camry. But yeah, I don't know what will happen with that.
I get it. No, that's great. All right, let's do this. This is a great question, great detail there. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on it. So, Julie, stay right there. We've got some lines open today, ready for your questions. Call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Funds Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
How can believers work together to strengthen Christ's church? And what should Christians expect when our culture drifts from biblical values? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains how spiritual gifts build up the body of Christ and prepares us for the challenging times ahead. Join us for the series Shine the Light, all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
We work, we earn, we save. But is that all there is? The book of Ecclesiastes gives us an entirely new perspective on money that impacts our day-to-day lives. FaithFi's study, Wisdom Over Wealth, unpacks life-changing biblical truths about wealth, work, and contentment. This resource will help you grow in how you handle wealth by deepening your trust in God. Request your copy of the Wisdom Over Wealth study with your gift of $35 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net and sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions for the remainder of the program. You're thinking about paying off debt, saving for the future, setting a financial finish line, or giving generously. Whatever it is that's going on in your financial life, you can call right now. That number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today with any financial question. Before the break, we were talking to Julie in Nebraska. Her son is working a part-time job here in the summer. He's 16 years old. He's been putting quite a bit away. He's already accumulated in a high-yield savings account about $18,000. And she's wondering about him starting to sock some money away in a Roth IRA, which he can do as long as he has earned income. He can put in up to the annual limit as long as he doesn't exceed the total amount of earned income he has for the year. And certainly that limit, the cap, would be $7,000 for the year. I think that's a great option, Julie. I mean, I would kind of have two buckets that you're working on. So bucket one would be known expenses in the next 5 years. And so it sounds like for him, that's two things. One is the trade school. The second is the car purchase. And so, you know, perhaps now that he's already gotten a great start on that, it would be behoove you and him for you all to quantify if he's headed to trade school, what is that all in price going to be? And if he's going to be responsible for that, it'd be good for him to know what that is. And then second, you know, maybe begin to do some preliminary work on what that first car would be that, you know, balances something that's reliable. He's not always breaking down, but realizing that this is his first car. And so he wants to, you know, spend as little as possible. And given that he's already, you know, on such a great track there, maybe he takes whatever he's got available beyond whatever, you know, monthly expenses he's covering that he's responsible for out of his summer job. Maybe he divides it between the two, or he continues to fund, you know, that short-term savings account specifically for the car and the trade school, realizing, you know, what when he needs to start spending down that money and making sure he's on track to fully fund it without debt. But then secondly, let's start taking advantage of the opportunity for compound growth. Because you're right. You mentioned, you know, just the power of compound interest, and that's real. You know, when we look at, you know, where he could end up, you know, when we look at the S&P 500, the 500 largest companies here in the United States, if you go back the last 50 years, let's say from 1975 to 2025, total return with dividends is around 11.6% annualized,
when you kind of smooth it out and you look at it per year with all the massive ups and certainly the down years, and then you adjust for inflation, it'd be about 7.6%. You know, when you go longer than that, you're going to see even over 75 or 100 years about the same thing. So that means even a little, you know, change in that annual return does matter. But let's just run that out from 16 to 65. If he were to put in $100 a month at a 7% annualized return, he'd have about $500,000 in there. At 8%, he would have $650,000, and at 10%, about $1.3 million. So you can quickly see how with even just this modest amount, $1,200 a year going into that Roth IRA, and that's not including what he's going to be doing in his 401k and the opportunities he's going to have potentially down the road to put even more on an annual basis, how he could have well over $1 million. Now, all that needs to be adjusted for inflation down the road and so forth, and you know we could talk about what that means. But I think the bottom line is compounding is a powerful force. Even after adjusting for inflation, the key is starting early, being consistent, and staying invested. And so I think, you know, the opportunity right now is for him to kind of balance out these real, you know, what I'll call short-term needs, things in the next 5 years, alongside the desire to get started today in, you know, putting money in the Roth IRA, which is going to grow tax-free and be incredibly powerful for him, given that there will be no taxes on it down the road. Does that all make sense, though?
Yes, yes, that's great.
Okay. So I think the next step is where to open it. And, you know, you could open it at Fidelity or Schwab, both low cost, very reputable, both have great customer service. Go ahead.
I do have a Betterment account that okay. I opened because you had recommended them. So yeah. I have a traditional and a Roth with Betterment. So can awesome. I can go ahead and open another one for him through
you
there?
You sure can. Yeah, I believe them. they you just have to confirm that they do allow, you know, basically be a custodial Roth. I'm not sure that they do at Betterment. Mm-hmm. You could check. Have you already looked at that?
No, I haven't. So who would you recommend if Betterment doesn't?
If Betterment doesn't offer for those who have not, you know, reached 18, then I would look at either Schwab or Fidelity. If you're wanting a robo solution, probably Schwab. The Schwab Intelligent Portfolios are very good. You know, Schwab has, you know, about the best in terms of the amount of investment options that are available. I would say Fidelity is maybe slightly better just in terms of their website and their app, but both very good and would get very good reviews on customer service and so forth. So I think either Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios would serve you well.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, let me send you a gift. There's a resource that some friends of ours created from a ministry called Open Hands Finance. And basically, when they were at Taylor University, they and shortly after graduation, they created this curriculum that uses podcasts, but then a workbook to basically unpack a biblical approach to financial planning. So everything from how do you put a spending plan in place to the power of compounding to the dangers of debt to the importance of giving generously. But it's written for and produced for college age kids. And I assume with the maturity of your son, it'll be right in his sweet spot. So I'd love for you to give it to him as a gift and just let him work his way through this workbook. I think he'll have a lot of fun with it, but he'll learn a lot of practical things, and it's all through a biblical lens. Okay.
Sounds great. Thank
awesome.
You so much.
You are welcome. Stay on the line. We'll get your information and send Open Hands Finance right out to you for you to pass along to your son. Taking your calls and questions today, the number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. Whatever is on your mind today going on in your financial life, we'd love to tackle it. Spending plans, debt repayment, saving for the future, giving generously, whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you. Also, coming up in the next segment today, Bob Dahl stops by. We'll get Bob's take on the markets. We're shrugging off the attack on the Iran's nuclear facilities over the weekend with pretty much every U.S. market index higher, at least at the moment. Oil, even though it's down, has stabilized. So we'll get
Bob's take on what might be ahead just around the corner. Also, before we head to this break, let me celebrate something with you. I want to take a moment just to thank you all, the AFR listeners, for your support for Heart for Lebanon. So last week, we had Maylee Melke from Heart for Lebanon on the program to make a special plea for support, and you really came through. Now, Heart for Lebanon is the ministry that we've picked here at FaithFi this quarter between, through June the 30th to highlight, because we know that when you live as a faithful steward, one piece of that is you give generously. And so we take one ministry each quarter just to shine a light on them doing some incredible work. And through your generosity and many others around the country, Heart for Lebanon achieved and exceeded its goal of reaching 500 at-risk young women and girls in Lebanon with resources and mentoring and, of course, the gospel. It looks like we're going to be able to reach closer to 600. So a big thanks for all of your support. If you want to learn more, go to faithfi.com/Lebanon. We'll be right back. Is our theology of money upside down? Our vision is that all Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure. You know, it's a game changer of an idea, and we start with this idea that God owns everything, and we are his household managers of what he has entrusted to us. So we own nothing, but we have stewardship responsibilities.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. In just a moment, we'll be talking to Bob Dahl. We'll get his weekly market update and a lot going on in the market. So I'm glad Bob is here today. We will have time for perhaps 1 to 2 more questions before we round out the program today. So if you have a financial question, anything going on in your financial life, call right now, get in the queue, and we'll try to tackle those before we finish our time today. The number 800-525-7000. Bob is CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He's a leader in faith-based investing, and so is Crossmark Global. We're so thankful for his time each Monday. Bob, wow, a lot going on over the weekend with the attack on the Iran's nuclear facilities. The market shrugging that off and oil stabilizing as well. What do you make of this?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing after the events of the weekend. Of course, we had trouble in the markets at the end of last week as people were worried about what might happen. And of course, what happened was pretty dramatic, Rob. But I think the market's reaction is say, okay, the risk of or the uncertainty related to will the U.S. attack the nuclear facilities in Iran that only the U.S. has capability for. Or will that not happen? Of course, that's behind us. And as you point out, the price of oil initially went up, but has retraced much of those steps. As the price of oil goes, so will go the market as it relates to the whole issue in the Middle East. The noise there politically, of course, it matters to the people who live there, but for the markets, it's the price of oil.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And all eyes on the Straits of Hormuz. I know, all of the administration out over the weekend on the Sunday shows saying, listen, Iran has far more to lose than we do economically, and so do many other countries, if they were to disrupt the flow of oil through that part of the world. Would you agree with that? And what are you watching?
Yes, the initial reactions. Oh, what are they going to do now to get back at the U.S.? Oh, they'll probably close the Straits of Hormuz. But as you said, but as they contemplate that, you know, yes, they'd hurt the U.S. and the whole globe, but they'd hurt themselves significantly. So that may not be exactly what is next. Good analysis.
Yeah, very good. Bob, I know in your market commentary this week, you asked the question, are we approaching an inflection point? Give us some context for that question and then how you answered it.
You know, the context has to do with the direction of the economy. As you know, as we call it, the soft data, the surveys, have really gone down a bunch since, really since the tariff noise became the headline. But the hard data, the measurement of actual things that are going on, like labor force, like unemployment, those things have held in okay. They've weakened a bit. My questioning, are we at an inflection point, is asking, will that hard data weaken further? Will we see some job losses? Will we see the unemployment rate creep up? Will we see consumer spending weaken? For example, last week, we got some bad manufacturing information. Retail sales were disappointing. And our view is this is the inflection point to show a slower economy. And then the word recession will creep into everybody's vocabulary again, if that's accurate. Whether we have one or not, who knows. But we'll see some economic weakness. We've been arguing all along.
Yeah. Bob, what do you feel like the downside potential is, you know, for this market? I mean, I know coming into the year, we were just priced for basically near perfection. We did sell off and because of the tariffs, but we have, you know, come back up somewhat. So what do you feel like is possible there?
You know, so if there is no slowdown and the economy just kind of bumps along as the pace has been going, acceptable but not setting any records, the market will probably just hang in there roughly where it is. Conversely, if we see some weakness in economic growth, more importantly for investors, earnings, then the fact that the stock market's PE ratio, its multiple, is 22.7 as we speak. As you know, Rob, that's at the high end. So we have some, quote, price for perfection back in the market after the 20% rally following the 20% decline. That's what's to be watched.
Yeah. What is it going to take for us to get this next leg of a meaningful bull market that extends for the, you know, next decade or so? What do you need to see?
We need to see economic growth leading to earnings growth stronger than expected. You know, markets move based on how they perceive actual consensus expectations versus reality. So if the numbers come in as expected, the market goes ho-hum, that's what we expected. But if they're better than that, and that's what we need economic growth, earnings growth to propel this market back higher. It's recognized a lot of good news to repeat at these valuation levels.
Yeah. Bob, let's finish with the Fed. Obviously, a couple of important testimonies this week from Fed Chairman Powell that investors will be watching and listening to. But where do you think we go from here? I know there's been some Fed governors even over the weekend saying that I think we're going to see cuts as soon as July. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, I look, if the Iran, if the Middle East thing in general slows economic growth, that would give the Fed room to lower rates. You know, they met last week, of course, and made no changes. But importantly, they altered their estimate for GDP growth, economic growth, down from 1.7% this year, which is already below trend, down to 1.4%. while simultaneously increasing their inflation estimate from 2.7 to 3.0%. That's a bad combination. You don't want less growth and more inflation. You want more growth and less inflation. So we got to watch these numbers carefully.
Interesting. All right, Bob, as always, we appreciate your comments today, sir. God bless you.
Buy low, sell high. Talk to you soon.
We'll do it. Thanks, Bob. Bob is our resident market guy. He joins us each Monday with his market commentary. We look forward to it. And by the way, he has a phenomenal investment commentary that comes out each week that you should check out, sign up for. It'll be delivered to your inbox each Monday. And I know it's a great way for you to stay up on the markets. I count on it each week. You can do that at crossmarkglobal.com. You know, as we think about and begin to round out the broadcast here today, you know, when it comes to managing God's money, often I'm asked, what are those principles that we see in Scripture that we should follow, that, you know, come from God's word, but are really practical, that give us kind of the roadmap for what it looks like to manage money well. And it really does boil down to five simple principles. Now, doesn't mean they're easy. I said simple because they're simple to understand, harder to implement, but it starts with, and this assumes you understand God owns it all and you're a steward, but in terms of those principles, it begins with spending less than you earn. You know, we've got to start there because financial success begins with your ability to live within your means. It's just absolutely essential. That means you've got to have a plan, give every dollar a job, and ultimately be able to live within the provision that God has provided, despite the fact that a debt will allow you to live outside that. So we live within or spend within our means. Second, avoid the use of debt. Is it because borrowing is a sin? No, absolutely not. It's because borrowing mortgages the future. And so we just have to be on our guard there. And God's word is clear. There's clear warnings in Scripture about debt. There's really not much good said about it. So how do we think about debt? Well, there are some simple rules that I think we can apply, including that you know, we're only going to use borrowing for productive purposes. So the economic return needs to be greater than the economic cost. So that doesn't mean we're borrowing money to go to dinner tonight. Doesn't mean we're borrowing for things that are depreciating, although we tend to do that for cars. But usually the borrowing should be limited to appreciating assets. Think your house, think borrowing to get a business started, things like that. Make sure you and your spouse are always on the same page. If you're married, don't borrow if you're not. And make sure you're not denying God an opportunity to work. Don't pull out the plastic so quickly without just really trusting God for his provision and making hard choices along the way. So live within your means, avoid the use of debt, set long-term goals. Why is that important? Well, the longer term your perspective, the better your decision today. And so we want you to have some goals driven by your values so you know ultimately where you are going. And then next, have some margin. You know, it's not just enough to live within your means. You really want something left over. That's going to be key for you funding those things beyond this month's expenses. Your ability to give more, your ability to save for your emergency fund, your ability to invest for the future or start a business or whatever you feel like the Lord is leading you to do, that comes from your surplus. It's got to be there. And then finally, you need to give generously because giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. And we were created for good works. You know, giving is part of God's blessing to us to be able to participate in his activity, reaching and changing lives and a part of his mission of restoration here on earth. It's a privilege we have when we give. And you did that over the last few weeks in your partnership with us toward Heart for Lebanon. What a beautiful picture of how we can take a portion of what God has given us and give it to a ministry that is reaching girls in the Middle East and Lebanon, telling them about their identity in Christ, sharing the good news of salvation, and mentoring them so that they can resist what is often exploitation that goes on in so many of those households over there. Thank you for your work in that. And I think that's just a great way to celebrate the opportunity we have to take money, use it as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Well, I hope sharing those five simple, not easy principles will give you some things to think about today. Spend less than you earn, avoid the use of debt, set long-term goals, have some margin, and give generously. Hey, let me say thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without everybody here at FaithFi, including Adam Suddeth, who was our producer today, in for Devin Patrick. Thank you for Sandy Dickinson, our phone screener today. Also grateful for Jim Henry providing great research, and the entire team here at FaithFi. So grateful for the folks God has brought here. Well, have a great day. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll be here to do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.